Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. There seem to be cultural taboos and dark secrets all over North America. Whether we're in the Southwest with Navajo skinwalkers running amok on Navajo reservations, or up in Canada with Algonquin legends of man-eating beasts. Let's get right into these stories that have been sent in by viewers just like you. They claim that these are true experiences, but as always, it is up to you to decide whether you believe them or not. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Now, let's get right in to these creepy Skinwalker and Wendigo tales. There are dark secrets in every corner of this world, and to some, it might be hard to imagine just how easily one's life can turn upside down having been exposed to the horrors that are out there. My name is April. My mother named me after the month of spring as she found it to be the most beautiful season to which I was described. For most of my life, I was never acknowledged by my peers for my intellect rather than my looks. I've had my fair share of passes from boys since high school straight onto college. Never was the saying, "boys only have one thing on their minds," any truer until I experienced it firsthand. However, those moments made me focus even more on my academics to simply prove that I was more than just eye candy, that I actually had a brain to suit. The day had finally come when I graduated from Arizona State University with my degree in business. Never was I happier to make myself and family proud, as I was now moving out of my own and having taken a job in the field I so longed for. Having desired my own place, I moved into an apartment complex just in the suburban outskirts of the city. Nothing fancy, but a nice rural atmosphere with a great view of the desert. I moved into my one-bedroom apartment, mostly out of convenience as it was less costly, and my parents were helping me with the first couple of months of rent until initial paychecks started coming in from my new job. We were just coming into summer, and the days were getting a lot hotter, typical for Arizona. The apartment complex was gated and mostly had families with young children as well as elderly couples. During my first few weeks there, I noticed there was a young man, probably just slightly older than myself, who lived next door. He had a humble demeanor, and was fairly attractive in a mysterious type of way. Despite seeing him every now and then, entering or leaving his apartment, the odd thing was he would spend hours every night sitting on his balcony staring out into the desert with what seemed like extended binoculars. I only noticed this strange habit of his as our respective balconies were parallel to each other's, and it was hard to not catch a glimpse of him from my place. Regardless of his mysterious nature, he was quiet and kept to himself mostly, so it was impossible to say he was a bother as my neighbor. With my work starting to pick up later into the month, my hours were inevitably longer, which meant I found myself back home after dark. One night, in particular, having made it back to my apartment around 10 p.m., I decided to pour myself a glass of wine after dinner and sit outside my balcony and take in some fresh air before heading to bed. Of course, my nocturnal neighbor was doing his habitual exercise of staring out into the desert. He didn't seem to mind or even notice me, as a matter of fact, when I stepped outside, but he seemed to have a moderately depressed aura about him. In an effort to be polite and break the ice between us, I called out to him. Hearing me, he perked up from his slouched posture, and finally peered over to notice me. I was surprised at how pleasant he became as he stood up, reached across the railings over from his balcony to mine, to shake my hand. He mentioned his name was Eric, and we chatted for about 10 minutes, engaging in quite the pleasant conversation. He had a great smile, and was charming overall, but looking into his eyes, I could not only sense fatigue, but a hint of sadness as well. Over the next week or so, we continued to engage in our brief late-night chit-chats, and despite getting to know him a bit more, there was still an air of mystery about him. One day, however, I managed to get off early from work and made it home around dusk. Eric wasn't outside at the time when I sat on my balcony taking in the view. The colors of the horizon shifted from a prominent red to a faint purple as the sun began setting, creating shadows and shades of reflective colors across the vast desert. As the last of the light disappeared and the night encompassed the sky, the sounds of coyotes or dogs emitted in the distance. Feeling tired, I rested my eyes as I reclined in my chair, taking in the cool night air. Laying there, the howling, which had started so quickly, had ceased, and silence engulfed the desert again. However, what I heard next was beyond odd. Faintly off in the distance, I swore I heard someone utter my name. Thinking nothing of it, I brushed off the notion and tried dozing off. This time I knew it wasn't my imagination, as I heard my name uttered yet again, this time only closer. I sat up and listened intently, hoping my ears didn't deceive me, waiting to hear my name called again. And to my surprise, it did. I stood up and looked out intensely in the area which I heard the calling. Despite my apartment being on the second floor, and I could see as far as anybody else during the day, the desert area was pitch black at night. The high walls surrounding the complex had lights, but unless someone was within 15 to 20 feet from the exterior, it was pretty much impossible to see. As the voice came closer, I thought I recognized it as being Eric's. Thinking it was him, I answered back curious as to why he was out in the desert. However, no matter what I said in response, the voice only came and said my name in return. Refusing to respond to the voice any longer, I kept peering out into the direction of the voice, hoping to see who exactly was calling me. Amidst the darkness, I saw what looked like eyes, but not human, rather that of an animal in the manner of how light reflected off of them. It was hard to distinguish exactly what it could have been, as my eyes followed theirs from left to right in the instance where whatever it was seemed to be pacing back and forth. Thoroughly disturbed by what I witnessed, needless to say, I went back inside. I remained indoors for the rest of the night, hoping that it was just my overactive imagination. Things went back to normal for the most part by the next morning, and I attended work as usual without giving the weird incident another thought. Despite it all, Eric was on my mind, not for what had happened, but as to why he had broken his routine just as I got back from work. He noticed me just as he came up the stairs, and he was his pleasant self as usual. Being a little envious and hoping to clear my doubts, I asked him in a humorous and playful manner as to what he was doing out in the desert last night shouting my name. Before he could turn the key to unlock his front door, his entire demeanor changed, from casual to uptight as he stared at his apartment door momentarily before turning to face me. His eyes were filled with concern, and he looked at me and asked if I can repeat myself. Mentioning the incident again to him, I noticed his breathing hasten, as a sense of paranoia also set in. He approached me closer, and seemed desperate to know if I was being honest with him about what had happened. I could not further express the reality of the situation as I began to feel myself concerned. His expression of dread soon transitioned to sadness as his eyes bowed to the floor, as if recalling a bad memory or a loss deep in thought. Eric slowly walked back to his door, with his eyes still situated on the floor, but not before he glanced back up at me, pleading that I remain indoors at night, no matter what voice I heard calling my name. I equally begged that he explain to me what was happening, but he shut himself in his apartment before I had the chance to fully express myself. Eric's reaction to what I had told him solidified that my experience was all too real to discredit at this point. my mind raced throughout the night, depriving me of sleep. Even at work the next day, I was deep into thought, bothered yet again to make light and piece together these strange occurrences. If there's one thing about me, call it a strength or a flaw, it is my persistence on getting to the bottom of things and leaving no stone unturned. For the next few days, despite not stepping outside my apartment at night, I kept an eye out to see if I saw Eric again. At some point, as I was hoping to confront him amidst everything. A week had passed, and not only did I not see him, but neither did I hear his voice calling out from the distance. Never was I a strong believer in the paranormal, so naturally, my mind gravitated to the conclusion that perhaps I was a pawn in some elaborate prank of his. During one of my days off, I was returning from visiting my parents and ended up reaching home later than I expected. It was a little bit past midnight. There were almost no residents outside at that hour, so the complex was quieter than usual, especially in the still air. Passing by Eric's door, there was no sound emitting from the inside to indicate that he was home as I entered my apartment. However, from that moment I closed my door shut behind me, I heard his open. I quickly turned around and peered through my peephole to see Eric casually dressed as if he intended to go out this late with a duffel bag in his hand as he hurriedly took the stairs and was making his exit. Delaying my actions momentarily, I hesitated with the thought of what to do before deciding to pursue him. As I came downstairs to open the courtyard, I realized that he had covered a lot of distance and was heading to the parking lot on the farther end of the complex. Choosing to run, I managed to catch up to him just as I reached his car. We were very much alone, and despite his surprised expression, I sought to subtly give him a piece of my mind for possibly tricking me and causing me to feel paranoid. Amidst all my ranting and questioning, I sensed that he was preoccupied with something else as he paid little attention to me. Opening the back seat and dropping his bag in, Eric urged me to go back to my apartment. For some reason, he was a lot more serious and concerned when he suggested I return indoors. No longer did I try conversing with him rather than turn to walk away. Something was wrong, and I could sense his intentions, whatever he was about to do, would lead to bad results. Little was I 20 feet from him when a voice echoed Eric's name in the distance from the parking lot. I froze in fear, for the voice I heard was none other than my own. I slowly turned back around to face Eric, who was also standing still, almost in anticipation for whatever was calling him. As my voice rang out again, I rushed up to Eric, shrugging his arm as I whispered that he comes back inside. We both looked around the deserted lot, but there were no other people besides us. The voice sounded off yet again, but was followed by a low grumble as it neared us. Gesturing to Eric again that we should both run, he whispered that I need to hurry and get in the car. Before the sound of the growl drew any closer, Eric lunged into the driver's seat and started the engine. Fearful that I wouldn't make it back to my apartment in time, I hopped in the back seat as Eric put the car into reverse as we exited the lot. Making it onto the road, I glared behind us and saw nothing but the dim lights of the parking lot and complex minimizing in the distance. There weren't any other cars on the road at that hour, but for some odd reason, Eric chose to drive in the opposite direction of town, out into the desert. Before I could even question his sense of direction, something nudged the right side of the car enough to force the car slightly to swerve. I began to panic as it was obvious we were not alone on this highway. Eric glared around in concern when whatever it was slammed into the passenger side even harder this time. I screamed out in shock and shouted for Eric to stop the car, but all he did was accelerate more and frantically urge me to look out to my left. Out on the gloomy roadway, my eyes widened for what I saw was a massive gray dog keeping an unnatural pace with the speeding vehicle. I immediately lunged back to the other side of the car in sheer fright, grabbing Eric by the shoulder as he drove faster. I kept glancing to the front and back to see if there were any headlights in sight so that we could at least signal for help, but there was only the sound of the revving engine and the heavy breathing of the animal keeping pace. The dog became more aggressive as it banged against the car with even harder thuds, so much so that it nudged the car so much that we swerved off the road onto the rugged desert terrain. Though Eric managed to gain control of the vehicle, we were still pretty banged up when we eventually came to a complete stop. After all the previous tension, there was suddenly a still silence all around. We both tried to get a grip of ourselves before Eric glanced back to see if I was okay. Motioning to him that I wasn't injured from the accident, we each peered around the perimeter of the car to see if the dog was anywhere near. But the darkness just made that impossible. The only logical thing to do was find ourselves back onto the road and drive like hell in the direction of safety. Wasting no more time remaining stagnant, Eric tried to restart the car. But from the moment the headlights came on, the fear returned as the dog was standing directly in front of the vehicle. The creature's teeth were bared, as its head bowed low in a vicious snarl while its glowing eyes locked fiercely with Eric's. My eyes welled with tears as I covered my mouth from what I was witnessing. Glancing over at Eric, he appeared to be now more angered than afraid, as if he stared back at this hellish creature with an intent to fight it. What happened next scarred my very soul as the dog unleashed an eerie howl and began to contort its body right in front of us. Each of the creature's limbs began to snap like the sound of bones being broken. The growls transitioned from that of an animal to that to a yell of a person. The paws turned to fingers and formed a hand. The outstretched front legs became arms and its snout receded back into its head. Failing to get the car started in time, Eric reached his hand behind and whispered to me to reach into his duffel bag and find his handgun. Despite being paralyzed with fear, I did as he said, but what happened next garnered another scream from me. The creature stood up on its hind legs, right before us, with the upper body of a man whose long hair covered most of his face and was clothed in animal fur of sorts. His legs snapped back into position to human form, as Eric groaned through his teeth for me to hurriedly hand him the gun. I tried to focus yet again, rifling through the bag, not before the man began to walk towards the vehicle and over to Eric's side of the car. To my surprise, the duffel bag contained another of larger firearms, but the moment I located the handgun, I immediately dropped it in Eric's hand. The man had reached the driver's door by now, and Eric swung his hand open, back over the front. As soon as I heard Eric cock the pistol, I instantly ducked down in the back seat as he opened fire at the man through the window without hesitation. All I heard were loud pops of the gun and the shattering glass before the man let out an animalistic, hellish scream. Frightened, I still dared to look up as Eric unbuckled his seatbelt and got out of the car. As for the man, he stumbled back to the front of the vehicle injured as his body began to contort yet again, and his eyes reflected brightly in the headlights. I wanted to shout at Eric to get back in the car, but I was too afraid to even speak at this point. Aiming the gun at the man yet again, Eric fired at him. However, after he was struck by one bullet in his back, the man bolted off on all fours into the desert. His sound could still be heard off in the distance for a long time, like a scream between that of a man and the growl of a dog. Eric circled the perimeter of the car with his gun in hand, and intensely looked for any sign of this creature being there or waiting for the creature to return. Finally, calming myself enough, I pleaded with him to get back in the car so we could just go to the nearest police station. Eric refused to say a word, but instead quietly got back in the car and started again after a few tries. I climbed into the passenger seat as we drove onto the road, headed back the way we came from. My adrenaline was still high, but surprisingly between the two of us, Eric seemed the most unfazed at the encounter. I argued that we should go to the police. However, Eric remained silent. This time, I demanded an answer, and he responded calmly that we should go to the police. What report are we going to make, given that we just had this crazy... this crazy encounter, and how would anybody believe it, regardless of how sincere we are? Despite how confused and scared I was, this was the first thing all night that actually made sense. Who would believe a dog knocked the car off the road and then transformed into a man? Eric suggested that I don't return to my apartment tonight, and that he would give me a drive to my parents' place on the other side of town so I was safe. I agreed, but I still had questions. I knew Eric had been avoiding them. Begging him to tell me the truth as we were now driving into the populated areas, he finally opened up. He explained that what we encountered earlier was a skinwalker, an evil shapeshifter of Native American folklore that he was on the hunt for, hence the reasons he was armed with numerous weapons in his bag. The entity was stalking him for a while. and I just so happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Following him so far, I had to ask why such a creature was after him. As it turned out, this was not Eric's first encounter with a skinwalker. For the first time, I saw genuine emotion from him, as he confided in me that the creature was responsible for the disappearance and possible murder of his girlfriend over a year ago. And despite it stalking him, he had been hunting it ever since. I saw the sadness and pain return to his expression, as I now understood the motive for everything he did that night. The very last thing I asked him was the name of the girlfriend he lost, and he quietly responded by saying, "Cindy." I live in a pretty rural town in the southeast. There are only two highways leading in and out, and they pass through nothing but woods. It's quite hilly, and there are steep embankments on either side of the road. In fact, most accidents in town occur when someone is going too fast around a curve and gets stuck at the bottom of the embankment. It's pretty serious when that happens, since no one can get up or down those crashes without extensive gear. Recently, my husband and I were driving home from visiting his family in a nearby town. It was pitch black, in the dead of night. I think it was around 2 or 3 a.m. We were very close to our house off the highway when my husband spotted something on the side of the road. He told me to be careful of the deer and pointed when I asked where. As we passed, we noticed that this quote-unquote deer was bipedal, but still hairy and about the shape of a too tall human. Its eyes glowed in the headlights, and it was walking up the embankment by the highway with ease. When we looked at the hill, we noticed it was one of those steep ones people couldn't climb, no way. I don't think it chased us. Then again, I floored it after seeing that. Took my roundabout way home too, just in case. Does this sound like a fleshgate, or a skinwalker, or a wendigo? I'm kind of freaking out. This is way too close to home for comfort. This happened back in 2018 in Western Kentucky, and for privacy's sake, I won't disclose the location or any of our names. My brother will be called G, and my grandpa will just call Pops. Every season, my grandfather, brother, and I would head up to a small hotel outside of a town. We would go frequently fishing around the bays and lakes there past nightfall. Around 11 p.m. one night when we were fishing for catfish, we let out a few fireworks before going back to the hotel to sleep. After letting out the fireworks, we heard some sort of demented scream across the water. The only road to where we were fishing was a small gravel road surrounded by dense woods. It wasn't uncommon to see deer or other wildlife in the woods there, as there is a national park less than 5 miles away and very few people live around there. On the way back, we decided to stop and go stargazing some 3 miles up the road in a small field. While stargazing, I saw a deer at the edge of the tree line across the field with my night vision goggles. "Hey G, a deer. Where?" After he had asked, the deer started moving towards us across the field. "Skinwalker," he said. Now, I don't doubt the existence of such creatures, but I haven't seen one, and I think immediately seeing a deer and freaking out and calling it a skinwalker is kind of lame. I said, "Wrong area. The skinwalkers are from New Mexico," Pop said. After looking back in the night vision goggles, the deer was now about 100 yards away. It then stood up on its back legs, which really started to freak me out, and neither G or Pops could actually see it. "I think we should go ahead and go back to the hotel." "All right then." We got in the car and went down the road. As I looked out the rear of the windshield, I saw the damn thing standing straight up in the middle of the road. It was about 8 or so feet tall. At least that's my best guess. It quickly ran, and I mean ran, back to the field. After going back to the hotel, G and I were watching YouTube till about midnight. And after turning out the lights and laying down, I swore I could see something out of the window. It definitely wasn't just a tree or a person, as there would be no trees around, and we were on the second floor. If you know anything about what we might have seen, I'd like to know. After watching some YouTube videos, I reckon it might have been a wendigo or a skinwalker, but I'm not sure. So if you are even traveling in countryside at night, don't stop to do anything. You never know what you're going to see. This happened last summer. I just finished my freshman year in college. I am part of the Navajo tribe. After 6 hours of driving, I wanted to relax and hang out with my boyfriend, some of my friends, and my family. My parents and some of my uncles were going to a peyote meeting that was an hour away from my house. I wanted to go, but I knew I couldn't stay up all night, so I planned to stay with my boyfriend, friends, and my younger siblings. We are going to plan to have a game night. Before my parents were about to leave, they called us and all the kids to the fireplace outside. They throw some cedar leaves in the fire as some pillar up in smoke. We bless ourselves for protection and harmony, and even though my boyfriend and friends weren't Navajo, they even blessed themselves. We gave my parents hugs before they left, and they say we aren't going to be back until tomorrow around noon. After they left, I set up the PlayStation for my two younger siblings as they wanted to play Minecraft. My friends and my boyfriend were all playing cards. I let in my three dogs, a black deer-headed chihuahua, a basset hound mix, and a res dog mix. We just relax and play around when I noticed the dogs were on full alert with their ears pointing up and looking outside. I have a condition that if there is a strong spiritual pressure, my right hand trembles. It kind of feels like your arm falls asleep with non-stop shaking. My people called us the hand tremblers. Then, I heard a woman screaming and something crash. I got up and closed all the windows along with the curtains. As I was doing that, I saw someone standing before some of the cars. It had yellow eyes that glow in the dark. It seemed as though if it was peering into my soul. I shut the curtains quickly. My friends and little siblings were terrified. All I told them was that they can't enter the house, so we are fine. That's when I heard it calling my name. Josh, come outside. We need to get hugs. I shake it off as it sounded like my mom. We are at home. Then it started to scream again, something between a coyote and a woman. After a couple of minutes of screaming, it stops. I got up to look around outside. There was a coyote circling among the cars, but it still had yellow eyes. As it moves from my car to my boyfriend's truck, I saw it get up, and it was standing on its hind legs. I closed the window and suggested to everyone that we should head to bed as we were all going to sleep in the living room. So we got the mattress from my room and set it up in the living room. My little siblings were scared. I got up and on top of the door hangs a wooden lighter. I rubbed my hands and fingertips together with ash and walked toward my sibling and rubbed the ash on their forehead for comfort and protection. After an hour, everyone was asleep when there was another crash as a car alarm started to beep. I got up to look outside. It was my car, and the back passenger window was busted right open. The crap. I remember that I didn't take in any box from the dorm room. In it was my hairbrush. I was kind of freaked out, but my boyfriend wraps his body around me to try to calm me down. I went to the stove to burn sweet grass and pray that nothing will happen to me. And I went into the living room and grabbed my backpack and ate some bitter powder. The next day, I told my parents about what had happened. They said that we should get a medicine man ASAP. He did a quick prayer and blessed the house, my car, my siblings, friends, and my boyfriend. And the next upcoming day, I was feeling sick, not motivated and becoming distant with everyone. I kept having terrible dreams, so my parents called the medicine man again. They did numerous protection prayers. The medicine man burns some cedar leaves and prays. As the fire burns down, he threw another handful of cedar leaves. He looked into the fire to see who did this. It turns out to be an ex-boyfriend from high school who got jealous of me, how I was successful, and how my new relationship was better. The medicine man gave me some herb to burn, and to make tea to help me, and put a protection prayer that anything that happens to me will be given back to the skinwalker that was hurting me. In the Navajo way, that jealousy will have a negative impact on you and the person you are jealous of. It's very dangerous. The skinwalker may pick up on that and put curses in order to get stronger. Let me begin with saying I was around 7 when this happened. I'm about to be 15, so I still have a very vivid memory of this occurrence. When I was younger, we used to travel a lot for my mom's work, particularly in our motorhome. We got to stay for free in campgrounds and take long national park vacations. At this time, we lived in Lake Havasu, Arizona. Kind of irrelevant, but a preface to the story. We went on a camping trip to the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, and Petrified National Forest sometime in 2010 or 2011. When we finished our Grand Canyon leg, we headed to the Navajo Nation to get to Monument Valley. On the way, we stopped at a little roadside shop on a particularly desolate area of the highway. My mom and I purchased handmade juniper bracelets from a nice older lady there. As my parents and other assorted families pursued the shop, I talked to one of the forkers. She appeared to be the owner's daughter, I believe, in her early 30s. She had overheard what route we were taking, I don't remember it if I'm honest, and told me to be very careful of a man that haunted the highway at nights. I haven't been able to find anything about it online. I'm very sure that she called him the White Walker. And no, I'm not thinking of Game of Thrones. She described him as an evil white man that stalks the highway at dusk and takes souls. It was a very creepy thing to me, especially since she had only told me and not my parents or anyone else. I thought she was trying to scare me at first, but she was very serious about it, not like she was just trying to entertain me a little bit. I didn't have an encounter that night, but you best believe I watched the road with eyes wide open the entire drive. It was very unsettling out there, and I'm usually at home and in the outdoors quite often, to be honest. It was just us in our clunky motorhome. We maybe passed 2 cars the entire drive. We had music playing loudly, but I could tell that if we stepped outside, the silence would engulf you. Please let me know if you have ever had an experience with this legend or know what kind of spirit or legend she was talking about. She never said skimwalker, and did not describe, from what I've read, a skimwalker. But I can't be too sure.